This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, October 17th show. It's a great day to talk money, and that's why I'm here and what the show is all about, how to make money, save money, and build a better quality of life for you and your family. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast, but you can call the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. And you definitely will want to hold on to the show number today, or you're going to want to hold on to the contact information for my next guest, a very special guest in studio, Hal Elrod. He's the best-selling author of The Miracle Morning. And if you want something that can completely transform and change your life, this guy's going to be able to do it for you. Hal, thank you so much. I know we couldn't have you in studio because you're a busy guy. You're not in our local market here, but just being able to take time to personally talk with me and share about your book to my listeners, I so much greatly appreciate it.
Well, it's mutual, Tina. I thank you for the opportunity, and for everyone that's tuning in, thank you for your time. I hope you get some value today.
I'm sure they will, and especially after I read your bio. Let me give you a little background, all my listeners about Hal. He's the number one best-selling author of what is now being widely regarded as one of the most life-changing books ever written, titled The Miracle Morning, the non-so-obvious secret guaranteed to transform your life before 8 a.m. It is also one of the highest-ranked books on Amazon with over 905 star reviews. What's even more incredible is how Hal actually, he died at age 20. He was hit head-on by a drunk driver at 70 miles per hour, broke 11 bones, died for 6 minutes, and spent 6 days in a coma only to wake up to face the news that he may never walk again. Just saying that, Hal, on the phone, talking with you, just almost brings me to tears because I know your story and I know your book, and I'm just so happy for my listeners to be able to talk with you. Not only did Hal walk, he went on to run a 52-mile ultramarathon, became a Hall of Fame business achiever, an international keynote speaker, one of the world's top success coaches. He's a hip-hop recording artist, has been featured in the Chicken Soup for Soul book series, writes the entrepreneur.com, and has appeared on radio, my show being one of them, and TV shows across the country. Just that the list goes on and on. One more thing I do want to mention, because I really love listening to Robert Kiyosaki, author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and just having him talk about you is just amazing. And here's what he said about Hal. Hal is a genius, and his book, The Miracle Morning, has been magical in my life. As my rich dad often said, I can always make another dollar, but I cannot make another day. If you want to maximize every day of your life, you got to read the book. So let's go ahead and start out with that. Hal, again, I know I've thanked you a few times in the last 2 minutes that we've been on the phone here, but thank you again. And let's start out for my listeners. You, we talked about in the bio, you were found dead at 20, which I want to hear a little bit more about, or I want you to share that with my listeners. But before we get to that, I want to touch on your new number one best-selling book, The Miracle Morning, since it's being widely recognized as one of the most life-challenging books ever. So can you give us a quick synopsis of The Miracle Morning and why you say that a person's morning routine is the single biggest key to taking their success to the next level?
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that I would have never believed, having been a night owl really my whole life, you know, for the first 27 years, I guess. I was around 27, 28 when I came up with The Miracle Morning. And it wasn't a book, by the way. Like, I didn't think, I want to write a book. Morning rituals would be a good idea. It was literally 2008 when the U.S. The economy crashed, and part of it being the housing economy, I lost everything, you know, relatively speaking. I lost my house. I had bought a brand new house months before. I lost it back to the bank. I went from being in the best shape of my life. I was 5.7% body fat before the economy crashed. Mm-hmm. And 6 months later, I was 17% body fat. I went from being debt-free to being in $53,000 of, you know, credit card debt. The list goes on and on that way. And It's a very kind of a long story short, but mm-hmm. I heard a quote from Jim Rohn, and this is the foundation of the Miracle Morning. It was Jim Rohn's quote and this philosophy that was the catalyst to turning my life around faster than I ever thought possible. And then that's simply the book is just a result of me going, wow, this can help other people too. I'm going to share it with the world. And that's how it kind of came to be. But the quote from Jim Rohn, Tina, he said, your level of success will rarely exceed your level of personal development, because success is something you attract by the person you become.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, I realized, wait a minute, I'm not dedicating time to my personal development every day.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I'm not becoming the person that I need to be to create the success that I want in my life. And I think it's true for most people. You know, if you were to ask people, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how intense and focused and committed are you to your personal development each day? They'd probably go, you know, half would go, what is that? What do you mean personal development? And the other half would go, I read books occasionally. So I went home with this epiphany. I thought, I'm going to figure out what the world's most successful people do every day for personal development, and I'm going to pick the most effective practice and do it every day. And after an hour online of just kind of researching, Googling, what do the world's most successful people do for personal development? What do CEOs do? What do millionaires do? On and on.
Mm-hmm.
I could not narrow it down to less than a list of 6 practices.
Wow.
And these 6 practices, that was the real breakthrough, is I thought, what if I did all of these? None of my research, and Robert Kiyosaki, this is what he said, is he goes, Hal, before the Miracle Morning, every successful person did one of the 6 practices, which are now known as the savers, but no one did all 6.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. So the next morning I did all 6. I woke up and 2 months later, I had more than doubled my income. I went from being in the worst shape of my life to, you had mentioned earlier, deciding to run a 52-mile ultramarathon.
Mm-hmm.
And I went from being deeply depressed to just unstoppable. And that's where I shared it with my coaching clients. And then, you know, I mean, it's been 5 years since then, and over 100,000 people around the world now do the Miracle Morning almost every day, and experience just profound results, from losing weight to starting a business to increasing their income. It's really universally applicable to whatever you want to improve or take to the next level in your life.
Yeah, and you know how you mentioned one quote completely changed your life, and I just think that's so amazing. And now to see that your one thing to do, or the 6, but it's all about the one thing in the morning, that it's completely changing lives around the world. It's just amazing. So getting back to your story, at age 20, you said that you hit your first rock bottom when you were hit head on by a drunk driver and found dead at the scene. Can you explain to my listeners what happened after that?
Sure. It's an experience that you never imagine is going to happen to you. It's something that, you know, you see it on the news, and you go, oh my gosh, those poor people, that poor family. And then you change the channel. Well, for me, I was 20 years old. I was a year and a half into my sales career. I had broken a lot of the company records, so they always had me giving speeches at the conferences.
Mm-hmm.
And one night I gave a speech. And by the way, because of that, I had like a new dream that was born of like, I want to be a professional keynote speaker someday. You know, this is like, I love, you know, you can tell by interviewing me, I love to talk, you know, I get excited. And I thought, that's what I'm born to do. And so that dream was born. Well, this particular night, I gave a speech for my peers, about 50 sales reps, and I got a standing ovation. And it was the first time I had ever gotten a standing ovation. So for me, it was a really affirming moment, like, wow, maybe I'm good enough. You know, we all have self-doubt.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd give speeches and go, man, that wasn't my best. I messed up that part. And this night I went, wow, if these people would, you know, stand and applaud, maybe I can do this for other people. And so I drove home that night. I had an hour and a half drive on the freeway, and I was on top of the world. I mean, I was like, you know, rocking out in the car, like the music's blaring, and having a phenomenal time. I was driving a brand new Ford Mustang, which, at age 20, that was like the dream car within my means, kind of, you know. And I don't remember what happens next. What I'm going to share with you now for just the next minute or two is, I only know this from police reports and eyewitnesses and hospital records, but I have no memory past me getting on the freeway and, you know, heading home. And that's really where it's black from there. But around 5 minutes on the freeway later, 5 minutes later, a man I had never met before in a full-size Chevy truck, we were up in Northern California, up near Modesto. he got on the freeway as well, but he was going the wrong way. He was heading against traffic. And I don't remember the headlights coming at me, but at around 11:37 p.m., this full-size Chevy truck traveling 70 miles an hour head-on hit my Ford Mustang, also driving 70 miles an hour for 140 mile an hour head-on collision. And, you know, the hood of my car, the engine was smashed into the cab. The windshield shattered. The airbags exploded. And believe it or not, the worst was yet to come as my car spun off the drunk driver sideways. And my driver's side door was a target for the car that was just following a few lengths behind me. They didn't have time to even hit their brakes or swerve, according to the driver. Mm-hmm. They crashed 70 miles an hour into my driver's side door. And for anybody listening, I always encourage just to get kind of an idea. Like, look over your left shoulder right now and imagine that a car is coming at your car door at 70 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And imagine what it would do to you, right? I mean, it would be unreal. So that, for me, is essentially what happened. And the entire left side of my car was smashed into the left side of my body to the point where my left side of my body was just devastated. I broke 11 bones instantaneously. And we're talking major, like my femur, the biggest bone in the human body, broke in two halves. My pelvis snapped, it smashed into the center console, and it broke three separate times. And all the way up, you know, my eye socket was fractured. It's all made of titanium now. My arm is made of titanium. I punctured my lung, ruptured my spleen, and I began to lose a lot of blood. And it took an hour for the rescue crew to cut the roof off of the car. I was pinned inside, and when they finally pulled me out, I had bled to death. I died for 6 minutes. I was in a coma for 6 days. And when I came out of the coma, I had, you know, no recollection of what happened to me, but I just had to face this unimaginable reality that I had 11 broken bones. Doctors said I would probably never walk again. Mm-hmm. I had permanent brain damage. I had almost no short-term memory. And I'm having to kind of process this whole thing. And to keep a long story slightly longer, or slightly shorter, I was so positive, Tina, that the doctors called my parents in a week after I came out of the coma, and they sat them down and they said, "We're concerned with Hal. We believe he's in denial. We believe he's delusional because he's always smiling and laughing and joking, and that's not normal, you know, for a 20-year-old young man who's being told he's not going to walk again."
Yeah.
And what the doctors didn't understand, and this is I'll close with this. This is the greatest lesson that I implemented and that I reinforced during that time. And it's that every negative emotion that you or I have ever felt or could ever feel in the future is self-created.
Yes.
It's created by our resistance to our reality. In other words, wishing and wanting that we could change something that we cannot change. Mm-hmm. By the way, that's everything that's ever happened. Like, you can't go back, like, unless you're Marty McFly with the DeLorean, right? You can't go back in time and change anything. So once something's happened, think about when you get upset, Tina, isn't it? It's usually over something that just happened, right?
Yep.
You know, you just got some news, or you lost a deal, or, you know, you lost a loved one. I mean, it could be serious, or it could be traffic, right? Something that's out of our control. And to the degree that we resist our reality is the degree that we create emotional pain for ourselves.
Yes.
So the lesson that I implemented, I learned it in my sales training. It's called the 5-minute rule. And I simply, I told the doctors, I said, "Look, I live by the 5-minute rule." And that simply says that once something bad happens, I give myself 5 minutes to feel bad about it. But after 5 minutes is up, I realize there's no value in wishing it were different and feeling sad or angry or depressed or whatever. The only intelligent choice to make is to completely accept everything that I can't change and focus 100% of my energy on what is in my control to move me forward. And that's what I did. So it wasn't that I couldn't accept what happened to me. It was that I had fully accepted it. And once we learn how to do it, it takes practice. You know, I use the can't change it philosophy. Something bad happens, I go, "Gosh damn it, I set my timer for 5 minutes." And then after the 5 minutes is up, I take a deep breath and I say, "Can't change it." And those three words remind me, if I can't change it, I'm not going to put any negative energy into wishing that I could.
Unbelievable. And, you know, at 20 years old and the tragedy that you had experienced, to be able to have that attitude is I mean, it's magical and it's miracle. So I've got to take us to commercial, but I want to leave you as a listener. Do not turn the dial. Second rock bottom. What could be even worse than actually dying and not being able to, being told that you're not going to be able to walk again? Well, that's what you're going to hear when we come back after this short commercial. I'm here with Hal Elrod. We're right here at 1150 AM KKNW.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, October 17th show. I'm here to help you build a strong financial blueprint 1 week and one show at a time. And building a financial, strong financial blueprint, you need to have a strong financial personal print. And that's why I'm so excited to have my guest in studio, or not in studio, on the phone, Hal Elrod, best-selling author of The Miracle Morning. And hopefully you heard my conversation with Hal before we went to commercial break. If you did not, you've got to pick up his book. Well, regardless, you've got to pick up his book. It's just an amazing story and his philosophy and how to really get yourself in a great place. And I want to talk, we talked about before we went to break on your car accident and the tragedy of that and being told you weren't going to walk again and all of the miracles that you did personally yourself. And then you talk about in your book, the second rock bottom happened 8 years after your car accident. And that was actually, you said, worse than the car accident, which is just unbelievable. And I'm sure that listeners and people reading your book before they move on further into the book are wondering, what is that? What happened and how could it have been worse than actually dying for 6 minutes?
If I do a TV interview or something and I say that, they'll always cut me off and go, wait a minute, your second rock bottom was worse than the one you just told us about? Like, you died. I don't understand. Did you die again but longer? What happened? So here's the thing about the second rock bottom. You know, everything happens for a reason, as they mm-hmm. say, but I really believe it's our responsibility to choose the reasons or create the reasons for the adversity in our lives.
Totally agree.
You know, that we ask God or we ask other people to tell us, why did this happen? I don't deserve this. It's, mm-hmm. We decide what we're going to, how we're going to turn our adversity into an advantage. And in 2008, when paint a quick picture. When 2007, I had hit Hall of Fame with my company, and then I wanted to be an entrepreneur. So I started my own business as a coach and was doing really well with that. I launched my professional keynote speaking business. I was traveling around the country speaking, mm-hmm. and my first book, Taking Life Head On, became a number one bestseller. My publisher stole all of my profits. That's a whole other story for another time. But but I was really living my dreams. I'm like, I'm living the dream. I bought my first house, brand new house. I bought my dream car, luxury sports car. Like, I met the woman of my dreams. Mm-hmm. I was at 5.7% body fat, like everything, right? Mm-hmm. And all of that we talked about. And then when the economy crashed, and that was for me, you know, hard. That was the rock bottom that was more difficult for me to handle than my car crash, because when the economy crashed, all of that, I thought I was at rock bottom, and then I would lose another client, and then I would mm-hmm. try to reset and go, okay, can't change it. Like, I would take my own advice, right? I go, can't change it. I'm gonna reset. And then what ended up happening was I would lose another client, and it was this 6 month downward spiral where it just got worse and worse and worse. And I'm throwing my hands in the air, going, I don't know what to do. I keep trying to reset and go up from here. And, you know, I think more people can relate to that experience, right?
Yes, of course.
And so, because your show is focused on, you know, financial abundance and that sort of thing, I want to tailor it to that.
Okay.
Because for me, I was at the lowest point in my life. And when I say lowest point, what I mean by that is, obviously, physically, I wasn't, you know, although I was, you know, I was out of shape, mm-hmm. obviously physically I was in worse shape when my bones were broken. But the reason I say it was more difficult is mentally and emotionally, for the first time in my life, I got deeply depressed to the point of considering suicide.
Wow.
Like, it crossed my mind. I wouldn't have done it because, well, just for the fact that my mom and dad had been through enough mm-hmm. during my car accident.
Mm-hmm.
But I hated my life. And the feeling, I think what causes depression is when you don't have a compelling future.
Yes.
Right?
Because you lose confidence in yourself.
You lose confidence. Mm-hmm. You lose hope. You're right.
Yes.
There's hopelessness. And
that's, yep.
And so because I had tried and failed to turn it around so many times, you know, every day during those 6 months, I was losing confidence in
mm-hmm.
myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I go on the run. I hear that quote from Jim Rohn. I come home. I create these six practices. I don't create them, but I figure out the epiphany is, what if I did all six? I do all six the next morning. And less than 2 months later, that's where the results had happened. And that's when I started calling it my miracle morning, because my life transformed so fast
yes.
that it felt like a miracle. And when I told it to my coaching clients, I remember Katie Haney, the first coaching client, that I go, I got to tell you this thing I've been doing for the last couple of months. It is totally taken every area of my life to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, having doubled my income in 2 months, I didn't get a promotion. I didn't get a new job. I simply was gaining knowledge, not to mention clarity and confidence and motivation in those during that morning ritual.
Yes.
And the knowledge I was gaining, I was applying it. It was business knowledge, and I was able to figure out how to scale my business. So I didn't, like, nothing, what I did to make money didn't change.
Yes.
It's important to share that.
Yes, yes.
You know, people go, well, you doubled your income, but what, did you start another stream of income? Did you get a promotion? Did you?
Yep. No.
I simply doubled the amount of coaching clients I had. You know, instead of losing clients, I figured out how to ask for referrals.
Yes.
And I followed up on those referrals using an approach that I learned in a book called Book Yourself Solid by Michael Port, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the book I was reading. And, you know, I doubled my clients, right?
Uh-huh.
So it happened quickly. Well, now that I shared it with a coaching client, she started with, you know, almost the same response that a lot of people have, which is, I'm not a morning person.
Yes.
You know, like, I don't know if I can do this. And we have 75,000 people in our community for the Miracle Morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I have surveyed them and asked, how many of you considered yourself a morning person before you read the Miracle Morning? And how many of you, the Miracle Morning was able to empower you, it taught you how to become a morning person, and you were never before, but now you are.
And what were those
72%
stats?
72% of
wow.
the people that have read the Miracle Morning that responded were never morning people before. Most of them said they had tried and failed dozens of times to mm-hmm. you know, beat the snooze button, and now they are. So if you're listening to this, there's two things that I want to share with you. One is, if you're already a morning person, this is simply going to turbocharge your morning. It's
yep.
going to give you you're leveraging the six most proven effective personal development practices known to man. And
mm-hmm.
I want to run through these real quick, because people are probably going, well, don't leave us hanging, you know?
I was just going to say, give us your lifesavers.
Yeah, so the acronym, thanks to my brilliant wife who gave me the idea.
I love that story.
and get an acronym.
Yeah.
So it's the SAVERS, SAVERS. The S is for silence, starting your day with meditation or prayer.
Mm-hmm.
The A is for affirmations. And the way that I teach you in the book to create affirmations is very different than the way that they've been perpetuated by self-help gurus for as long as, to this day, they still are, where
mm-hmm.
they teach you to either lie to yourself and just, you know, if you want to be a millionaire, just say it over and over,
yep.
and you'll eventually believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't work that way. You know, I mean, maybe you can trick yourself, but for the most part, if you say, I am blank, and
yep.
the blank is not true,
yes.
your subconscious goes, no, you're not.
Yes.
So the truth will always prevail. The other way that affirmations are taught is to lie to yourself and say, or I'm sorry, not to lie to yourself, It's this passive, flowery language.
Mm-hmm.
For example, a popular money affirmation is this, or some version of this. Money flows to me effortlessly and in abundance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not how money works. Right?
Yeah.
You have,
yes.
have to put forth effort and add value to the marketplace or to your clients or to your employer. Then money flows to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
The more value you add, the more you'll attract money into your life. So the way that I teach you in the book to do affirmations is they're very results-oriented, where, and here's just a quick synopsis, and I won't go in as much detail on all of the SAVERS, but I want you to have an understanding of how these are taught very differently than they've been taught over the years. I'm a results person. I don't want to feel good while I do something.
Yes.
I want to feel good, but I want to see a change in my behavior that shows up in my results. When
mm-hmm.
I step on the scale, when I check my bank account balance, I want results. So the affirmations in the Miracle Morning, I teach you how to break it down so that they are totally aligned with your goals, what you want, the reasons behind it, why you want that, what specifically you must do to achieve it, and when you will commit to do it.
Yes.
So that every day you read your affirmations, you're not tricking yourself. You're not programming yourself with a fantasy. You're literally programming your conscious mind, subconscious mind, and your habits and behaviors to be in alignment with achieving everything you want in your life. And all the Sabres follow that model.
Yeah.
The V is for visualization. The E is for exercise. And you mentioned Robert Kiyosaki earlier. When I interviewed, or Robert interviewed me on his podcast, and he said, Hal, the Sabres are, you know, they've changed my life. He said, I still exercise in the afternoon.
Uh-huh.
When I read exercise in the morning, I thought, I don't want to trade in my afternoon exercise. He said, but I took your advice, and I just do it for a few minutes in the morning. It's enough to get my heart rate up,
uh-huh.
get the blood flowing, release the endorphins. Literally, just a couple minutes of jumping jacks in the morning
yep.
are a game changer. The R is for reading, and I really believe that we are all one book away from learning what we need to know, gaining the knowledge to improve any area of our life.
I totally agree.
And the final S is for scribing, and that's a fancy word for writing or journaling. And I just want to, mm-hmm. the last thing I'll wrap this up with is what Robert Kiyosaki said. Don't take my word for it. He said what Hal has done with his acronym Sabres is taken the best practices developed over centuries
mm-hmm.
of human consciousness development and condensed the best of the best into a daily morning ritual, a ritual that is now part of my day. And he goes on, the last thing is going through Sabres every morning is like pumping rocket fuel into my mind, body, and spirit before I start my day every day. And that's the thing, is any one of the Sabres will change your life.
Yes.
When you do all six, it accelerates you getting to the goals you've had for as long as you've had them, faster than you ever thought possible.
Yes. And Hal, I've got a couple minutes left here with you, and I want to first, before I'm not going to forget, but tell my listeners how to get and connect with you. How to connect with you.
Yeah, go to halelrod.com. That's the, you know, HALELROD.com, halelrod.com. If you want to get the book, Amazon is typically the best place to get it on, uh-huh. you know, whether that's audiobook or Kindle or paperback. If you're an iBooks user, you know, if you're an Apple user, uh-huh. it is in the iBooks store as well. And then last but not least, I'd love to invite everybody listening, to, you know, whether or not you get the book or even before it shows up in the mail, come join the Miracle Morning community on Facebook. It is a Facebook group with 23,000 people in it. And I've never seen as engaged and supportive and vulnerable of a community where people are just,
yes.
they're so committed to helping each other. It's really, really neat. So join the Miracle Morning community on Facebook. And that, you know, just, you know, just take 5 minutes, read a handful of posts, and you'll be like, is this for real? Like, people are really experiencing these kind of results
uh-huh.
just by changing how they start their day. Even I'm a little bit in awe of it, and I've seen it, you know, time and time again.
Well, I'm gonna leave my guest hanging here because I want him to get your book, and you have to read about the 5-step snooze-proof wake-up strategy. Myself, I always tell people, once you hit that snooze button, you're telling yourself that you're not excited about life, your life, and what the day has ahead of you. And there's always some special little miracles out there for you. You just need to be alert and watching for them. So you've got to get Hal's book, attend his event, which I will be there as well. So maybe I'll get to meet some of my listeners. You can go to themoneyhour.com, listen to the podcast of Hal if you missed this show over the weekend or didn't catch all of it. Hal, thank you again so much for spending time with me and sharing about the miracle morning with my listeners. And I just appreciate you so much and your message out there that you're providing for people.
Thank you, Tina. It really, really means a lot to me. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Coming up next in the Money Hour, House of Horrors, Tales from the Dark Side of the Real Estate. Cher Klug with Keller Williams Real Estate here in Bellevue, right here at 1150 AM KKNW after this short break.